Let's pick up in midstream with the second part of this provoking message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
Now take the prophets who have persevered. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to jump down to verses 35. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 39 says, considering faith, this is the great faith chapter. Women receive back their dead, raised to life. And it's saying all these good things, and now all of a sudden, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They suffered without seeing Christ. This is pre-Christ. This is Old Testament suffering. To be a prophet of God in the Old Testament was a hazardous job. Because you had God. God was talking to you. God was giving you his will. And you'd go out and say, but God told me about it. God told me to tell you this. Oh, great. You're dead meat, buddy. How dare you proclaim God's truths in our public squares? And they would kill them for it. What was the last time we suffered for bringing Jesus to work? For Jesus to school? What sort of flogging or jeers? Maybe some jeers. You know? What have we suffered? So consider, James is telling them, keep it all in perspective. What you're suffering, it's part of the plan. It's going to give glory to God. And it's making us perfect. So now we go to the second part. Worship is ministry to the body of Christ. Worship is ministry. True worship is ministry to the body of Christ. And pray a lot. Lots and lots of prayer. Prayer covers it all. Pray, pray, pray. So here we go. James chapter 5, 13 and 14. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. That makes sense. If anyone is happy, let him sing songs of praise. If any one of you is sick, he should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let's unpack that for a moment. I even put the little bottom part here. I remember once during youth group, we actually did that. A kid had a knee problem, and we did it after the service, a bunch of us. Got the kids, sat them down. We got some oil, some Crisco, I think. And we poured a little oil on his head. We prayed for him that the Lord would heal his knee. It didn't happen. His knee wasn't healed. But we prayed and we anointed him with oil. What went wrong? Is this verse wrong? What's going on? The Bible can't be wrong. Was I not holy enough? I don't know. You know, in Christ, we're completely righteous. But, you know, what went wrong? So let's unpack this. I think the kicker here is anoint him with oil. That's what I wanted to highlight. There's very few times in the Old Testament where anointing with oil is this religious activity where we're anointing. You know, like Samuel, when he anointed Saul as king. You know, he literally poured it. It was a religious ceremony saying the Holy Spirit it's a symbolism. But in this case, most of the time when Jesus says, when you fast, put oil on your head and make sure you don't look like you're fasting, you know, and not eating and not washing and you look like the living dead. You're walking around, I'm fasting. And Jesus says, no, you dress yourself up, you stay clean, and you don't act like you're fasting. You know, don't let people know that you're fasting. Keep it between you and God for God's glory, not your glory of, look how holy I am, I'm fasting. So, You got to keep it focused, and in this particular case, the idea of anointing your head with oil and such. Okay, distractions. I'm just cool. That's cool. The idea is the healing. Like you might have chapped hands and you lotion. The idea of anointing with oil is medicinal purposes, not religious purposes. So it's not like a charismatic service where you anoint them with oil, let a snake bite them, and give them arsenic. It's not that. It means pray for him and then send him to the doctors. The best doctors you can find. Pray and get him to the doctors. That's the context of what that anoint him with oil means. It means give him medicine. That's the context of that particular term. It is not a religious term. So we've got to be careful on that. And definitely you pray. You pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray a lot. Pray a lot and pray. Pray without ceasing. Excellent. That's what we're talking about. And of course, it is always contingent. Right here. James 5:15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. There's one context. I'm going to jump down to this part here first. I would like to suggest to you that sickness is not just a physical ailment type concept, as much as it is about spiritual sanctification, not just physical, because it refers to his sin within the same breath. So it's for our sanctification overall, body and soul. You know, we might see healing, we may not, but certainly spiritually, we want to be sanctified, we want to grow up, we want to mature in Christ. That's the name of the game, growing up in Jesus, that our suffering would give Jesus glory. And back up to that double asterisk there, it is always contingent on the will of the Lord. When we consider the prophets like we just did, some of these prophets, they obeyed the Lord and they suffered the ultimate price. They were murdered. They were cut in half. So here's the kicker. It may just be the will of the Lord for us to suffer and even die. Job, Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, Jeremiah, Daniel, and the list goes on. These were all people who literally were appointed by God, and then they suffered and died. James, shortly after writing the Epistle of James, was murdered because of his faith. All right? When he's saying, be patient in suffering, he means it. He means it. This is not just, oh, you had a bad day, and your team lost, and oh, you poor guy. No, he means it. He means blood. He means death. I want to use my father as an example. He passed away a couple years ago from cancer. And I had this opportunity during the summertime to go up and talk with him. And I sat down with him and I was saying, you know, Dad, one of the questions you want to ask God is, how can you bring him glory at this time? As he's wasting away, he's just about stuck to a chair at this point. He can't move around. And he did not like that. He did not like that at all. He wanted God to straight up heal him so he could get out of that chair and life would go on. So I tried to give him some Bible verses and stuff, encourage him, but he wasn't going there. He was not going there. And then later on, I asked my mom, so did he talk to you about it? She says, yeah, he talked to me about it. He said, you told him God wanted him to suffer. And I'm like, ugh. And part of me was like, you know what? Yes. Yes, he did. God wanted him to suffer to the point of death. That was in God's will for his life, because it happened. Are we ready for that? Are we ready to give God the glory and not run from God's sovereign will? That's a tough one, isn't it? This is real life here. But that's the reality of it. Will you give God glory in your suffering? Let's keep going. So James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, let's take a closer look at this. First, I want to talk about that weird, awkward thing of therefore confess your sins to each other. I don't want to come to church and tell you all the things I struggled with in a week. That's just awkward, right? And yeah, I don't really want to hear your stuff either, you know. I don't. Schedule a counseling session, right? Discipleship counseling. The idea of confessing sins is more of the idea of offenses towards each other, forgiving each other of those things. Because in context here, I already know all the sins you're struggling with. Yes, here I go. I already know, all of you, what sins you've struggled with this week. I know the little ones, the dirty ones, all the ones I know. Why? Because I struggled with them too, and we all together have broken the Ten Commandment test. We all failed it. So, all right, there's no more hypocrisy or hiding in that one. We're all a bunch of lousy sinners struggling along in Christ. I got it, you got it, we got it. It's about, from last week, yes. So therefore, you know, the confession is, you know, what can I pray for you this week? Or did you offend someone this week and you heard about it? I'm sorry, I said something that offended you. Can we talk about it? Challenging someone on their sin. I notice you haven't come to church for such and such a time. What's going on? How can I encourage you? What was the battle like? You know, that sort of stuff that's still, it's in your face. It's still like, well, who are you? Well, I'm your brother and sister in Christ, and I care that you get involved. That sort of thing. But it is, there's only one person we need to confess our sins to, and that's Jesus. Because I can't forgive you of your sins, and you can't forgive me of my sins, but Jesus can. In 1 John chapter 1, 8 through 10, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our heart. All right, so you confess your sins daily to God. You know, and if you need prayer and encouragement, yes, I'll do that. That's awesome. Because I know you're battling with sin, and you know I'm battling with sin. We got that part figured out. How can we encourage one another? Oh, wait, didn't we hear that before? Yes. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now we're talking spiritual stuff. Now we're talking healing. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Here's where we slide in the gospel. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, who's righteous? Man, I'm a lousy sinner. If you're in Christ, you're as righteous as you will ever be in Christ. Christ has given you His righteous life. He's credited it to you. It's yours forever. God will never look at you and not see you any less than Christ. Do you got it? You have Christ's righteousness. You're completely righteous in Christ. You can pray. God will hear. God will answer. All right. Awesome to that. Amen to that. And then, because this one used to always get my goat here, was James chapter 5, 17. Elijah was a man just like us. I always wrestled with that one because I'm like, yeah, right. I didn't pray for 3 years that it would stop raining. A matter of fact, you know, one thing I want to point out is that all these Old Testament people were all people just like us, from David to Moses to all of them. What made them special was God, not their self-esteem again, but God made them, God used them, even when they failed, which was a lot. David failed a lot. Moses failed a lot. Moses didn't get to see the promised land because he disobeyed God, and he got to see it from a distance. What made these men and women, and there's a lot of women in the Old Testament who did some awesome stuff, what made them unique was the presence of God in their lives and their obedience to God's commands. We can do that. We can do that. So we end here. The primary fruit of the Christian. The roots down below. We're going to talk about the fruit. James 5, 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. If that ain't our call in Pawpaw, I don't know what is. We've got generations and generations of families that needs the intervention of Christ in their lives to stop these multitudes of sins that just keep going because they don't know any better. Christ hasn't interceded in their life, and it may just be us acting as that prophet or prophetess to go in there and get the beat down on them. Not give them the beat down, but they won't necessarily like it when you intercede into that family cycle for generations to introduce Christ. Yikes. But that's our calling. That's the calling. If we know Christ, it's our job to reach out to our friends, families, and neighbors and share them with Jesus. That's the fruit. And of course, the root, this should sound familiar, love God and people and make disciples who love God and people. That's the command. That's where it comes from. All right. So we're going to end with, we're going to have some more singing and worship. I put the singing and worship at the end to give you all an opportunity after hearing the cool stuff of God to, one, give him some extra praise. So I hope you don't get in your mindset, I got to get out of here because Jeff's done. I hope you take the time to enjoy some hymn singing and then a song of just praise. Just worship the Lord and think about what you've heard. Pray to him, praise him, love him. Let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your truths and just the epistle of James that was signed in blood, James' blood and Jesus' blood, of men and women who are willing to sacrifice all for you. And when we consider our week, what are our sacrifices, Father? May we be the most effective slaves for you we can be in our lifetime, because that's all that really matters. Help us, Jesus, to put you first and let you permeate everything in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
From Bibles, websites, to theology, apps, to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakinDeacon.com. Truth is here.